Welcome to the Fatigue Super Conference. And I'm super excited for this conversation. I'm talking with Diana Minnick. And just to give a little bit of her background, Diana has more than 20 years of diverse, well-rounded experience in the fields of nutrition and functional medicine, including clinical practice, research, product formulation, writing, and education. Her doctoral PhD research focused on essential fatty acid absorption and metabolism, and her Master of Science degree allowed her to explore the health benefits of the colorful plant-based carotenoids. She has authored 6 books on health and wellness and over 15 scientific publications. Currently, she is faculty for the Institute of Functional Medicine and the University of Western States. She has developed an online certification program for health professionals so they can apply the color-coded 7 systems of full spectrum health in their practice. And I'm sure we'll get into some of that today. Her lectures are heard by patients and practitioners throughout the world. Dr. Minnick's passion is teaching a whole self approach to nourishment and bridging the gaps between science, spirituality, and art in medicine. That's always my worst bit of interviews, having to read out biographies. So Diana, I would love to hear a little bit about what inspired you to become a practitioner in the first place. You have a very broad reaching experience, which I'm really excited to talk about. But I'm curious to what was the original draw and pull for you to come into this area?
Yeah, I'm a researcher first and foremost, and then secondarily came into the clinical world of seeing clients and helping them with nutrition and lifestyle. And so I would say the way that I got into health in general is probably through my own personal endeavor of trying to get well. So having a number of chronic conditions since I was a teenager. And some of that was emotional and some of that was physical and some of that was wrapped together. So I would say really my pursuit came from trying to figure out my own health. And then once I found a way to be healthy, really feel, wow, I want to study this. I want to share this. So it's, and you know, I think that that's kind of a pattern for so many people in the fields where they had something going on with them and then that caused them to start looking under all of these different practices and looking at practitioners and looking at systems of thought. And that's exactly what happened to me. So I have always liked science too, I must admit. There's something about the inquisitive nature of looking into something very deeply that always intrigued me. So being a scientist really means for me being able to just kind of scratch under the surface of something and to get to that level of granularity to really understand it. But then at some point I also felt like science wasn't enough. And I began to venture into ancient systems of medicine, looking into yoga, getting into art, which was part of my healing path. And so I would say right brain creative person mixed with that left brain logic person. And I mean, we all are. It's just a matter of how we bring those two together into the daily dance or every day.
Well, one of the things that I really appreciated as I was diving deeper into your work is how you've kind of gone into a lot of the facets of the healing process and kind of organized those into a kind of 7 system way. And I like the way that you've brought kind of colors and kind of structure to it as a way, as I understood it, of ensuring that people are not just getting kind of lost in one piece of, we talk about a health being like a jigsaw and people getting just a few pieces and missing the fact there's other pieces. So I'd love to hear a bit from your perspective within lifestyle medicine. How do you see fatigue from the root causes? And when you're working with people, what's the system and how do you start to identify which pieces are going on for them?
Yeah, wonderful. Well, here's where I think we could take a tour through the 7 colors. So this is a sheet, which you've already seen. This is my operating system. This is what I teach to. This is what I use in clinical practice. I do think as a functional medicine practitioner in the way of looking at root cause and also individual biochemistry and individuality, but then my mode of application is to be looking at each of these colors, and each color represents a body system. So our physiology, our body, what you can see, it represents emotions and psychology and the core issues of life. and also represents food and lifestyle. So this is a way that I can bring together all those holistic pieces. And then under each color, there's that kind of system, right? So fatigue is a complicated one in some ways, because it is and it isn't, you know, and I think that for some people, they may have a certain framework or a certain perspective. Like the gut people always go to the gut and say, well, fatigue is because of the gut. The brain people go to the brain and they say, well, it's because of your neurotransmitters, or your, you know, your brain's on fire, you're inflamed, or you're depressed, and that's why you have fatigue. The heart people focus on the heart and maybe the stress of living, or whether or not somebody has, they're living out their life's passions, if we're looking at a more psychological angle. So I think that there are certain practitioners which look at clusters, and you know, if you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And so I do think that fatigue can be looked at from any one of those perspectives. My framework is a spectrum. So I feel like fatigue can enter in at multiple points. There can even be interacting points. And so if we kind of go through the seven stages, explain where fatigue might enter in, and maybe some tools to help people with some basis of how they can understand where fatigue is coming from. A lot of my work too, you know, I have a book called Whole Detox, and I got into detox because I was working on it in the clinic. I had published some papers on it in scientific journals. One of the things I noticed with detox was that most people would want to do something that primarily because they were couldn't figure out what the root cause was. So for me as a practitioner, it's always been very fascinating to look at fatigue because it's pervasive. It's one of the number one reasons why people seek out care from multiple practitioners, because nobody has a silver bullet approach to fatigue. It's multifactorial, and that's really how I look at it.
Funnily enough, I was reading Whole Detox last night. I can even have a copy right here.
Oh, wow.
one of the things that I really liked about it was you were giving examples of people that had followed a detox program that worked temporarily, and then symptoms would come back again and they'd go on to something else, and maybe that would work temporarily. And what I liked about your approach was that, and maybe it's what I'd like to hear you say more about, is it's a kind of going kind of wider and deeper in a sense, and of kind of understanding the deeper picture and the different facets of what might be going on. So maybe before we cut to a bit more detail on the seven systems, it'd be interesting to hear about why it's important to not just look at, you know, for example, detox pathways and trying to optimize that without looking at emotions, for example.
Yeah, well, I learned that lesson the hard way. So when I was seeing clients in the clinic years ago, putting them on a nutritional detox and really only looking with my physical eyes, what I would notice is that many people would start to shift emotionally. Like 9 days into the program, there would be some huge catharsis, some emotional revelations, and some upheaval even. And so then I started to think about detoxification from a more spiritual perspective, because, I mean, what is detox? It's one of the oldest methods of cleansing and purifying and resetting the body. We see this in the medical tradition with the humoral theory, which goes back to the ancient Greeks and Romans, of how they thought that we got sick because we had this bilious humors or melancholic humors within us, right? Kind of an elemental theory. But then also in spiritual traditions, this idea of we need to come back to center within ourselves. And so what I was doing with people was much more nutrition and focus, and that is my scope of practice. But I was noticing that when you change somebody's eating, you're actually changing their lives. And when you change their lives, chances are you're going to have this ripple through effect. And what I really like about discussing fatigue specifically as it relates to this holistic approach is the idea that, you know, if you think of what is fatigue, it's the absence of energy, or it's where the most valuable, one of the most valuable currencies that we have, which is ATP, energy, is exhausted. So we can't perform. And so energy, you know, to look at physical energy in the way of ATP and kinetics and mitochondria, but then we also have emotional energy. Certain people and all of a sudden feeling depleted, like, you know, I just went to this party or just was at this business conference or I was at this meeting and I just got depleted. Or maybe it's a thought form, which we keep thinking the same thought and we realize how depleting and how it's just sucking us of our energy. And so I started to see things in a much broader way because it was all very interconnected. And that's what functional medicine is. That's what ancient traditional systems of medicine cultivated, was the idea that we are more than our physical body and that the physical body is kind of networked within and webbed to all of these other parts of ourselves. So I like the idea of energy because it connects to qi in the traditional Chinese medicine system. It connects to prana in the Ayurvedic system. And it connects to simply ATP within the physiological functional medicine currency of thought. And so really, when we talk energy, it's a system-wide cross-platform discussion. And so that's why I do think we have to bring in all the colors. We have to bring in all the ways to think about it, because it has been thought about in so many different ways over the millennia.
So that's a great entry point. Perhaps we could break down the seven stages, and perhaps for people that are watching, either we can link the handout below your interview or people can go to your website, but it'd be good to have a place that people can visually see it as we're talking.
Yeah, absolutely. They can have it as a free download. So the first system of health that primarily, there are some of these systems that connect to, I would say, more than others, at least in my clinical observation. And the one that we'll talk about first is one of those. It is the color red. The color red connects into our physical body. It connects to our adrenal glands, which many practitioners think of when they think of fatigue. I actually don't always go to the adrenal glands immediately because the adrenals are kind of downstream. The adrenals take on the signal from the hypothalamus, right? And so then the hypothalamus works through the other endocrine systems and we finally get to the adrenals to squeeze out whatever stress hormones we need in order to function best for survival. But that's where we are with the physical body. It's the fight or flight, being on guard, you know, just case in point. I was in a car accident about a month ago now, and I was rear-ended in traffic. And after that event, it was amazing how on guard I was. You know, somebody's coming up behind me, just even walking behind me, or, you know, what's happening behind me. And it's amazing how all these traumas that create stress take our energy and keep us on guard, and how we may not even realize how much energy we're expending into past events that are traumatic, and in some way our brain and our body are engaged in that, even though it's not palpable in the physical moment, but it's with us. There's some kind of memory around that. So this is the place of, as I mentioned, it's the physical body. It is the I would say more the protein and mineral components of the body. It's what you see. So, you know, you see my skin, you see my hair, you see nails, you see the protein components. You can see if I'm fatigued because, you know, I might be manifesting that through my posture or through my face. And so our physical body gives us alerts on whether or not we're fatigued. So when I think about life issues, I think about security, I think about community. You know, there's so much about community can uplift us and support us. It can also drain us and deplete us. And so that's why I do talk about within whole detox. I give some discussion in there. In fact, I dedicate one whole day of the 21-day program to community, because if we do not have right relationship with people around us, that can be an exhaustive factor. And so let me just give a quick tool here for everybody. And this is something I talk about as well in my books. I like really practical, by the way, because I feel like if you're just hearing it and not doing it, it just kind of stays in the thought realm and it doesn't make its way into the body. And it's got to be in the body. It's got to be in that root part of us. So one thing you can just very quickly is make a list of all your relationships, all of the people that you interact with. So you can even, as a cluster, write down maybe it's Facebook or social media sites. Do you get positive energy from them? Do you get drained energy? Do you get kind of mixed energy, plus or minus? And so making an exhaustive list of all the people that you come into contact with on a weekly basis, or you can do it on a monthly basis, and just do a quick qualitative survey. Like, okay, my partner, my spouse, my group of friends, my book club, is that a positive or a minus? So I think evaluating that is key. And then, of course, nutritionally, just to close the red system, making sure that you have the nutrients to help you with fatigue. And for this particular system, protein. We need protein to help us with basically every function of the body is connected into protein. Vitamin C, which primarily is contained in red-colored foods. There's a rich, abundant supply of vitamin C in those foods. And so our body is more fortified to deal with fatigue if we have the nutrient reserves to bolster its function.
That's awesome. And I just wanted to respond to something also on the community piece, because I think particularly with fatigue-related conditions, particularly as you get down the more kind of severe end of that spectrum, that the cultural misunderstandings around fatigue and what it is, and the medical system says there's nothing wrong with you, therefore it must be psychosomatic or you must be making it up, that the kind of invalidation of people's experience can have a remarkably negative impact, where normally when one is in a difficult life situation, if someone gets a cancer diagnosis or something, generally that's met by a lot of emotional softness and support and nurturing. That's often not the case with fatigue. So that community piece, I think, can be really quite challenging for people.
You know, and that is unfortunate, isn't it? That as we move along the preclinical trajectory, potentially towards disease, that we're kind of in that very labile zone of feeling like we know something, but we don't have the support to help us. We don't have an advocate for our own being. And I see this a lot with women who juggle, they multitask, but I also see it with men. I know that women get a lot of attention when it comes to fatigue because they tend to just take on a lot with family, with job, with personal interests. But men also have that driver sense of needing to get things done, provide, be out there in the world. And there's constant stress, physical stress for everybody, I do think. And yeah. I think it's one of the things that really can align to as a human species is that we're doing. And that requires energy. And if we're not getting energy back from the experience, we're getting depleted.
Yes.
It's just like our energy bank account is going down. We're not saving, we're spending. And that's where the plus and the minuses come in. It's a very simple activity of really giving yourself time to reflect on who's in your community and whether or not they need to be in your community. And if you can't avoid them, how do you bring in more nurturing, supportive people to really help you through? I mean, we're an interdependent species. We do need connection with other people.
Yes. Yes. So that's red. That's level one. What comes
that's
next?
That's red. Next is orange. And orange is all about emotional health. So when I think of orange, it aligns to the reproductive organs. It aligns to water, to flow. It's kind of how we move around in the world. So if we think of the water compartment of the body, we think of fertility, we think of fats and oils. So we think of omega-3s and helping us to reduce inflammation. Many times fatigue can be due to being inflamed and not having proper levels of fats and oils. It could also be due to not being properly hydrated. I mean, there can be some true physical causes of fatigue.
Yes.
And so sometimes it's really nice to know that, because those seem to be easier fixes often than something like the emotional expression. So here's where the emotional layer and fatigue would interact. So let's imagine if we look at all the different sampling of emotions, that we have some emotion or emotional events that haven't quite processed through us. And so we kind of hang on to those things, right? And what can happen is that those things are energy, just like anything else that we're hanging on to. And so if we could think about anger or resentment going back maybe to our childhood, or grief is one of those emotions that I think is really, it's literally heart-wrenching. It does take a lot of energy. And so trying to find ways that cultivate healthy emotional expression, I think, can be helpful for fatigue. I know even there are some studies on crying and how when we cry, we release inflammatory cytokines through our tears. But many people don't take the time anymore to cry, to process. There is a general feeling in society, I think, what I've observed is that emotions are less than and intellect is greater than. And so let's hurry up and process and intellectualize emotions rather than really feel, be with those emotions. I mean, emotions are powerful. They actually determine our behavior. So if we're not expressing, it's like that creates, whether it's stagnation, stuckness, and all of that can lead to fatigue. And I do think that that's more discussed systems like traditional Chinese medicine. There's discussion about organ systems, emotional correlates. And so I think, you know, one of the things that I have in the whole detox book that I talk about is an emotional inventory. And this is really quick. This is at the end of the day. You just kind of go through this list of about 20 to 25 different emotions and you identify what you felt, because most people don't even know what they feel. And the literature would suggest that the more that we know what we feel, the more that we can connect into self-regulation of those emotions. It's not like they can ever really be squashed. It's just like finding ways that they can express in healthy ways. But first, I think we have to identify what we feel, because those, you know, energy and motion, emotions, I mean, those things need to move. And if they're not moving, they're just creating like this stuckness, this heaviness.
And that sometimes just learning to feel something, to name it, and to be able to communicate it can be quite a challenge when we've spent our whole life not, it's like, I think it can sometimes be like learning a new language. It's like literally you have to learn the language and how to communicate to yourself and to communicate to others what you're experiencing.
Absolutely. And sometimes we can't even find the right words to communicate it. You know, there is language sometimes for feeling, and that's what happened with me. So in my late 20s, I was going through a lot of emotional ups and downs and upheavals. And one of the things that worked for me, and I just gravitated towards this kind of organically, was I started painting. And I started painting on canvas, large canvases, bright colors, huge shapes. I've never gone to school to be a painter. I took an art class and dropped out of it because the teacher was telling me how to paint and I just didn't like that. And so then later I am painting. I feel like, how do I wasn't even trying to figure out how to get out emotions. It just kind of happened because I had been to therapists and, you know, I've done all the talking, which I think to some extent was really good for me. But then there was a piece where it's like, I had to be in the no talk zone of just feeling and like letting my body talk. And it had to do that through color, through shape, and through non-language forms. And everybody has their own way to do that. I mean, maybe for some people it's dancing. Maybe for some people it's just walking in nature. I know I get a lot of insights and a lot of release when I'm just walking amongst the trees and I'm just, you know, that state of no mind. I can process things better.
I think there's something that's very and powerfully soothing and calming to the sympathetic nervous system when one is at peace and harmony with themselves, right? I mean, that's the embodiment of being in a healing state, when one is just at peace with their own truth and their own feeling and their own expression, whatever that may be in that moment.
Exactly. And not judging it. You know, so many people, when they hear my story about painting, then they start thinking, okay, what kind of easel did you get? And what
straight canvas? To the
head. And were those acrylics or oil paints? And, you know, we have this sense of perfectionism and needing to get something right. But back to what you just said, if we can just be in that place of, you know, and for most, painting is one area of my life that I don't care what people think about my paintings. I really don't. It's kind of like, that is my space to express, and people can say what they want, but it's just like, that's where I was in the moment, and that's what came out. And in many areas of our lives, we feel constriction, restriction, and I do think that that wears on us and leads to fatigue because we're so busy trying to figure out what everybody else is thinking and how to manage expectations. There has to be a place where we can openly express who we are, even if it is to a journal, through something that we're writing, or it's something that we're painting, or it's something out in nature, whatever it is, we need to find that space to know that we are free.
Yes.
We can be who we are.
And I think it's easy to underestimate actually what a powerful impact that has. You know, it's interesting, you're talking to so many experts as part of this conference, and pretty much every interview so far that we've recorded, there's been points made about the importance of stress and being in the impact of stress, the importance of calming the sympathetic nervous system. And it's easy for people to go, oh, but taking supplements or changing food or getting to the bottom of what's happening from a kind of functional perspective is more important. Well, it's all important, but actually, if one's still in a state of stress, the body's not going to do much use with all of that stuff anyway. So I think it's super important. And just thinking back to the context of the seven systems, I don't know if it's helpful to keep moving through, if you want to, there are specific
Let's go to the next one. The next one is really relevant for fatigue. This is the yellow color, and it corresponds to the digestive system, or to what I would consider the fire element. So again, red was earth, physical body. Orange was emotions, flowing water. And now we're into the more like the solar plexus area, where we've got a lot of digestive organs that spew out a lot of acidic yellow substances, whether it's stomach acid, bile. You know, we are steamy, and we've got all this energy to transform. And that's what we're doing when we take in food. It is the process of transformation, figuring out what we're going to take in, right? We need heat. And heat breaks things down and transforms it, right? We get energy. We're supposed to get energy from eating. But what has happened as it relates to fatigue is that because people are exhausting themselves in so many ways, we don't have enough chi, prana, life force, ATP left over to burn. And so we start getting sleepy and damp in the way of not having good digestive fire. And so now we see lots of discussion around gut health. Like, you know, we really need to start with the gut. And I do think that there's something to that. That's one easy, well, I say easy, it's one frontline approach, something that somebody can start with as soon as possible. Because we all know how we feel when our gut's not right. Whether it's indigestion, we get reflux, we get acid. I mean, these are all signs that our body is letting us know, let's stop here. Because if we keep going, we could get into this from a fiery state of inflammation into a depleted state of fatigue. It's kind of like this continuum of yang to yin. And so here I think about yellow foods and all the depletion that we're causing and the fatigue through sugar, highly processed foods. A lot of them happen to be yellow. if we look at whether it's breads or cakes or pastas, I mean, you name it, a lot of these yellow, quick-burning foods are actually costing us energy, and that's leading to fatigue. It's kind of a false hope because we think we're going to get energy, and then we eat those foods, and then after a couple hours afterwards, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired.
It's like on that roller coaster. It's like negative nutrition, right? It takes more energy to move it down and process and dispose of it than it actually gives us.
That's right. That's right. So this is the center of carbohydrate, and this is where I see so many people have tapped into carbohydrate in order to get energy because they are fatigued. But again, it's like a it's a shimmering stone, but there's nothing there. You know, it's giving us only temporary relief to cause more permanent long-term exhaustion. So I would even say, looking here, like, what are we eating? Getting tested for food sensitivities, working with a practitioner to really make sense of what foods give us energy, what foods take energy away. Much like we talked about with the red and community, now we do this with food and we say, okay, when I eat strawberries, do I get a histamine response? I mean, that's mine. Do I get a histamine inflammatory response? And sometimes we can get immediate responses from food, like 6 hours after eating. And other times it's a delayed response, like 24 to 48 hours. So many people don't always connect the dot of taking in some kind of food and then feeling fatigued later. But there can be a correlation even after a couple of days. Maybe you've had something. I often hear from people with sugar, anything that contains sugar. And then people say later, like, oh my gosh, why did I eat that? It was just, it cost me energy. It made me not sleep well. It made me moody. And when we are fatigued, we do get moody and we can't sleep well. It's almost like fatigue says so much about how we're going to perform in a day, right? And so the yellow system of health is really important for helping us to understand food, digestion, and how that all creates fatigue.
That's great. And I think the next is green, right? After yellow.
Yeah. And green is the heart. And when we think of the heart green, I think of green leafy plants and vegetables, which contain substances called nitrates. These are good, healthy, naturally occurring nitrates. When we take them into the body, they help the blood vessels to open wide and expand. So that's what we want the heart to, is expand. We don't want to be contracted in, right? And so when I think of the heart, I think of how many of us overextend ourselves, how we take on this compassion fatigue, especially if we're practitioners or in the service industry in any way. Even a business person who is in the healing arts or in even a financial realm could feel like they're coming from their heart, that they're doing all of this work, and really there's no self-care to balance all of that service and compassion. So nutritionally, here's where I think about magnesium. I think about blood vessel health, anything to keep us open, because the moment that we contract the blood vessels, we can get things like high blood pressure. We can get things like inflammation, not having good circulation of the blood and not having good oxygenation through the blood can lead us to feeling fatigue. So the goal is to keep open. And that's why exercise is so important. I associate physical movement as the modality here with the color green. I think of being out in nature, breathing in fresh air, you know, being oxygenated, deep breathing. Oxygen is one of those nutrients that doesn't get very, I would say, tangible recognition within nutrition because it's not seen as a physical substance, but right. It's one of the things that can lead us to feeling energized.
Yeah, it's a funny one, right? No one can patent it. No one can bottle it. No one can sell it. No, it's like, and therefore it's easy to miss. And yeah, unless someone's in severe fatigue, one of the most energizing things one can do is to go and get fresh air and get their body moving, right? So
And this is one for me personally that I struggle with. You know, when I think about where I struggle with my own personal system, sometimes when I'm sitting at the desk and, you know, you just like mentally engage, but then it's like, oh, wait a minute, my body is feeling kind of achy and I'm not feeling the same energy level I had in the morning. One of the best things to do is just get up and go and just do something else and get oxygenated, right? It's, yeah. Again, it's something we often overlook and we don't want to be distracted from where we're at, but that could actually be the best thing for us because it resets us in a way. But it's one of the things that I personally struggle with. Even though I love to be outside, I also like to be engaged and, you know, with ideas and creativity. So I often have to remind myself like, okay, I need to do the things I love. I don't like going to a gym, but I do like, so we live in a little bit of a wooded area with lots of trees. So I have many opportunities to just go outside and, you know, just be in the garden. There's nothing that makes me happier physically than doing fitness where I feel like, ooh, I'm getting something done at the same time I'm breathing deeply and feeling <Yeah. laughs>
And it is so easy for people to undervalue the importance of those pieces, right? It's easy to get caught on the kind of track of doing complicated and sophisticated and very valuable functional medicine work, but not move one's body, not get fresh air, not get sunlight, and to diminish the importance of those pieces. So that's the green level. What comes next after that?
Yeah, so next is blue-green or turquoise or aquamarine, and I connect that to the throat area. And so the throat, I'm just, again, chunking out the body systems, right? So I'm thinking about the mouth, how we eat, and oftentimes we're fatigued because we're not eating or we're taking in too much too fast. Oh my gosh, I see that with so many people. Like, they have the best, most colorful meals, but they are scarfing it down, and they're not actually taking time, and that doesn't help digestion and back to the fire down below. So, this is also, it's not just about how we eat, it's about how we speak. And what I have seen for so many people, and I've struggled with this even in my own past, is all the words that we keep locked within us, the inability to really speak our truth, because again, we're so concerned with what other people are thinking, expectations. Am I going to offend somebody? Or how do I say this? All of those things from a psychological perspective can also keep us very locked up. And sometimes we have fatigue and energy issues through TMJ. You know, a lot of issues even with the jaw, the tightness that we hold here and in the neck. I mean, think of this whole area. And so what I do think is relevant for people here with fatigue is to be loosening the neck. Again, looking at posture, getting massage, even if it's jaw massage, doing that on your own. Focusing on how can you speak your truth. Maybe it's just even within the confines of your journal, but really noticing what words. And within the whole detox, oftentimes I'll talk about swearing. I'll talk about lying, exaggerating, you know, some of the toxicities that can come through that don't feel so good in that area. And again, if we keep saying certain things or we're not saying certain things, this requires energy in some way, in some capacity.
Well, there's also kind of going back to what you were saying earlier in terms of emotional expression, right? There's, if one's holding back the truth, that takes energy. Like to kind of, to hold that back is it's like trying to hold back a dog that's trying to run away. Like it gets hard after a while.
It gets harder and harder. Yeah. And, you know, one of the people I like very much who has really influenced my path, Carolyn Mace, M-Y-S-S. She's written a number of books. And one of the books I love is Anatomy of the Spirit. And I remember how she talks about, you know, our choices, what we say and how we voice them. I mean, this is really, you know, many people think that love is most important, but we have to choose love, as he talks about. And it's so true. You know, what do we choose? What do we verbalize? And then if I think physically and just like what's in this area to outside of the jaw and the neck, it's the thyroid gland, right? Nestled here in the throat area. And many times we have thyroid issues, whether it's because of endocrine disruption, toxic exposures. Some people just have a natural proclivity towards having dysfunction in the thyroid. They have more susceptibility for various reasons. Maybe they need nutrients like iodine or vitamin A or selenium, zinc. You know, there can be any number of things that could be off here. Or maybe they have an autoimmune condition. That can deplete people as well. I've seen clinically, just more and more people with autoimmune type of conditions where you have autoantibodies to the thyroid gland. So then I started thinking about metabolism and energy production. So much is corralled through that thyroid gland. So getting the thyroid to be healthy is important for energy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So then we have blue, I think is the next level after turquoise, right?
Yep. The next one is kind of the color I'm wearing, like an indigo, like a blue purple, which I connect to the brain. So here we go to the hypothalamus, the pituitary gland, the master control regulatory centers of temperature, of neurotransmitters, of kind of the really looking at the neuroendocrine space. You know, there are so many different tissues that are working together and then signaling to other parts of the body. So I'm really intrigued with those areas. And so blue-purple, when I think of blue-purple foods, I think of things like blueberries. There are studies on blueberries showing that those pigments that make blueberries blue lead to changes in learning, memory, and mood. And so sometimes, you know, our brain does feel on fire because we're eating a very inflammatory diet. We have a lot of stress in our life. And so that's why when we were talking about the red and adrenals, I say, let's go up to the brain. Let's sleep well. Here's where I talk about sleep within whole detox. Many people don't have energy. They have incredible fatigue because maybe they can't sleep well or they're just not allowing themselves to sleep well. I'm really into sleep. I mean, sleep is one of those things this is where I'm really good. I'm good with food and sleep. Like those are things I don't compromise. I probably compromise in the physical activity more, which I'm always trying to improve. But sleep is like, oh my gosh, when you're sleeping, you have a fluid around your brain, the glymphatic fluid that expands, and it allows for a lot of those toxic metabolites to move their way out of the brain matter and to excrete it through this fluid. And so if we have toxic brain and we're not giving our brain the time to process amyloid and whatever else is accumulating, then no wonder we could have fatigue. And so I think it's really important to look at sleep.
Yes, absolutely. And it makes total sense. And of course, when the nervous system goes out of balance, one of the impacts of that is then sleep goes out as a result of that. I think often people are so concerned around why can't I sleep? And often when I think about it as well, sleep is a result of what's happening the rest of the day. Sleep's a natural product at the end of the day. If the system's constantly stressed and overstimulated all day, it's not then going to switch off at night.
It's so true. And it primes your next day. So it's the end of the day. It bookends your life, really and truly.
Right.
And I do think that in the way of emotions here, there's a lot of dream work, a lot that can be done and processed through sleep. And so sometimes if people are fatigued, you know, they're just processing and they're emotionally processing. And for some people who like to go deep, like I'm doing a whole retreat on this this year in September, where for the whole weekend, we're going to focus on dream work. We're going to focus on mood state, blue, purple. We're going to be in that sphere because there's so much here and there's greater depth than I think most people are touching upon. So I do think that working with a trained person to kind of get into that space can be very healing. And once you bring that stuff up from the shadow or from the dream space, it's kind of like, oh, wow, there's so much transparency and there's just so much illumination as to like what was kind of gnawing at you, like whether it was symbolically or literally. And sometimes that can just feel like such a great witnessing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So then final level, talk us about the spirit. Tell us about the spirit.
Yeah. So the last one is the color white. And so that is purity, clarification. This is no food. So this is fasting. This is, if we look at those spiritual traditions that cultivate fasting, and I know right now intermittent fasting or time-restricted eating is such a huge thing going on and lots of discussions. And I do think that there's something there with fatigue. In fact, even for myself, I was experimenting more last year as to, you know, how is my energy level when I'm eating at certain times of the day? Do I need to have an 8-hour window of feeding? What really makes me feel energized? And I was always kind of feeling like, oh, I need to eat for energy. But then I realized that I didn't need to eat to have energy. That I was naturally, when I was paying attention to my body rhythm, the diurnal 24-hour rhythm, I just became much more connected into my energy level. And I do think that sometimes the cycle of eating, the when of eating. So when do people start eating? When do they stop eating? This can tie right into fatigue, because if we're eating really late at night and we don't have that digestive fire to process, transform, and burn all of that stuff brightly, it could just end up making us not sleep well. I mean, it just cascades into so many different things. And so this is the moment of stillness. It's fasting, withdrawal. Psychologically, I see this as having space for silence, because so many people, they're just on autopilot. They're on just everything is fast and they don't have time to process and synthesize and meditate and pray. You know, whatever you prefer to do within that silence, that's up to you. But it really is creating a space where we can do more on the receiving rather than on the output. And I think that the output is what really fatigues people, is when they're always outputting and they don't get enough of the input, the inspiration, the intuition, the creative impulses that come through those bouts of stillness or when we're in the no mind zone. So that's not one just because there's no nutritional direct correlates. I do think about the fine wiring of the nervous system, the things that are invisible, like electromagnetic fields, how that can deplete us, electricity depleting us, depending on our, you know, blue light. I'm sure that you've heard about this through your other speakers and you know about it as well. Just the issue of light and how that transforms us through the pineal gland, which is, when I think of white, I'm thinking white light. I'm thinking of, you know, how do we prime our body systems through the element of light?
What strikes me as we kind of have been going through the system is it's a really helpful map for kind of checklisting that someone is covering all bases, right? Just think in terms of, as we start to sum up, like how someone works with this, of kind of ensuring that they're not kind of going down the rabbit hole of one area that's actually either in conflict with other areas or just missing other pieces of the jigsaw.
Yeah, and thank you. That's a really good realization of seeing the whole and seeing how things interrelate. And that's why I like for people to do the whole detox questionnaire, because it is quite lengthy. It takes about 20 to 25 minutes. It's 125 questions, but people can, and it's broken out into sections of food, body, psychological areas. So even though you're not seeing that directly, you get a score on how you did in the red or in the orange or in the yellow. And from there, you can better navigate your path. You could say, well, out of the seven systems, I'm really high in two of them, but let me just pick one. And one has a ripple through effect. So even if you chose to work on blue, purple and sleep, that's going to change how you crave foods and so many other of the other systems, right? And so there's no wrong approach. There's only an all-embracing web-like interconnection of all these different systems. So you can pick which one you feel most inclined towards.
Very, very cool. I wish we had more time, but I'm mindful of time. So Deanna, for people that want to find out more about you and your work, where's the best place to do that?
Yeah, I would say going to my website, which is deannaminnick.com. So it's deannaminnick.com. And on there, all of my social media links are there, my blogs, all of the info, all of my courses, classes, programs. So, and this is, again, hopefully we can make this available for people. I just have it as a download even on the website. Because I just think it's a nice navigation map for people. It's in my books as well, but I just think having this on the refrigerator, just having it as a reminder of, even to think about like what color are you drawn to today and taking that path in through that system, through that aspect of color can be nourishing.
Fantastic. And I know you've written a number of books. We mentioned this one, Whole Detox, which it's got the questionnaire in there. And it's a way of, in fact, I just happened to put it up on the page. It's also another place people can go to get the to get the map. Deanna, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate your kind of ability to kind of to take the academic and the kind of to write the research pieces, but also put it together in a way that's accessible for people. I think it's been really valuable. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And I so appreciate you putting on this conference for people with fatigue, because like we started out with, it's incredibly pervasive and people need tools. And so I think that if they can just think of one or two things from this whole conference that really speaks to them and go further with that, they'll start to see a shift.
Dr. Deanna Minnick, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.